Welcome, welcome to the Instructional Leadership Show. You are in the right place if you are here for episode 57 of the Instructional Leadership Show. I'm your host, Justin Bader of the Principal Center, and our focus today is on becoming an expected presence in classrooms in the coming year. Every week on the Instructional Leadership Show, it is our mission to help you confidently get into classrooms every day, have feedback conversations that change teacher practice, and discover your best opportunities for school improvement. And I believe that the best place to discover those opportunities and the best place to gather the information you need for those feedback conversations is right there in the first bullet point, getting into classrooms. As instructional leaders, we belong in classrooms, right? That is where the real work of teaching and learning takes place, and it's where we need to be spending our time as instructional leaders if we're going to be effective, not just in helping individual teachers improve, but in making those decisions that affect the whole school, even if they're operational decisions, even if they're budget and staffing and, you know, kind of the non-instructional decisions. Nothing is really non-instructional in a school, and I believe that all of the decisions we make as leaders get more effective, they're better informed, they're higher quality when we are in classrooms more. So every week on the show, we discuss a topic that is drawn from our roadmap. We have a 6-month roadmap that we cycle through. And for the month of May, this is our first episode for May, we're talking about the 500 classrooms stage. And in a normal year, this would be the time of year when people are starting to reach their 500th classroom visit. I suspect that very few people will actually hit that target this year because of the extended school closures that we've had. So what we're going to do today is think forward to next year, because this is largely a question of design. This is largely about getting your purpose clear, getting your plan clear, and intending to get into classrooms, not just a lot, but a specific amount, 500 times a year, which is about 3 visits a day. So we have a whole rubric for this. You can get this at principalcenter.com/ILSA, I-L-S-A, for Instructional Leadership Self-Assessment, if you would like. And we're going to concentrate today on that fifth column of the rubric here. 500 classrooms, get impactful and consistent. When it comes to having an impact as an instructional leader, most school administrators probably could not claim to be at a level 4 in our rubric, and you may have worked for someone who was maybe at a level 1 or a level 2, and we are on a mission to collectively change that and raise the level of instructional leadership in our profession. Level 1 in our rubric says, I'm afraid to visit classrooms because I don't know what I'll see, and neither teachers nor students expect to see me. So it's a surprise if and when I show up. And I love this picture here that I got from our for our title slide here. This face. Have you ever seen this face when you walk into a classroom and you're like, what's going on here? What's wrong? Did I do something wrong? Why are you here? Do you need to get a student? What's the issue? Why are you here? And it's not necessarily a reaction that you don't have the right to be there, but it is a reaction that suggests that this habit has not been formed. So we want to really make this a habit, make it a pattern, so people don't make that face when we show up. Because if we're going to have an impact on practice, it needs to become normal for us to be in classrooms. Level 2 is probably where most people who make an effort end up. I get into classrooms as I'm able, but I'm often thrown off track by having to deal with unpleasant surprises, and my visits catch teachers and students off guard. If you believe that happens to everyone, give me a yes. If you're tuning in live, if you just leave a comment wherever you're watching this on Facebook, Periscope, YouTube, LinkedIn, wherever you might be watching this, give me a yes if you think that's pretty normal, right? Do most administrators everywhere face that challenge of being just kind of thrown off track throughout the day by various unpleasant surprises? That's normal, right? And if you make a habit of always giving in to those distractions, then what's going to become common in terms of teachers' experience is they are going to see it as normal for you not really to be able to show up very much, because All of those surprises, those kind of predictable surprises, keep you from getting into classrooms as much as you want. And if anything, the surprise is when you actually do show up, if you're at that level. People say, oh, hey, I'm glad to see you, but like, what do you do? How did you make it here? What happened today? Did you call in sick and then come in anyway and sneak off into classrooms? By the way, has anybody ever done that? Sometimes that's not a bad strategy if you can get a sub or at least get people to act as if you're not there. Because they know, we know if people can find us, they will. Everybody needs a piece of your time. And it is very hard to make time to get into classrooms. But it is possible. And that is what we talk about every week here on the Instructional Leadership Show. Level 3 is where we want to start ending up. And we can even push beyond that. Level 3 says, I visit 3 classrooms a day, every day. So teachers and students are used to seeing me. And my feedback conversations are having an impact on teacher practice. That is where we want to be. We want to get into classrooms every single day so that people expect to see us. It's not a surprise. People don't make a face. They don't stop what they're doing and have all the students stand up and say, oh, I guess it's our annual inspection. Everybody please rise and you know, salute the principal. You know, I had that happen in my first weeks as a principal. I said, let's not do that. You know, we're going to just carry on. I'm going to be here a lot. And I was there a lot. But we have to make it normal. Like, we have to break that ice with people and show them that we're actually going to be there on a consistent basis if we want it to feel normal and feel impactful to teachers. Level 4, teachers and students expect to see me in classrooms, and I can see the impact it's having on students and on teacher practice, not just overall, but in specific areas of our instructional framework. That, my friends, is where we want to end up. We want to get so deep into the work of instructional leadership that we can answer at the drop of a hat what we're working on in different classrooms, in different teams, in different areas of our framework. We're able to move the work forward through constant presence in classrooms and conversations with teachers. So our essential question for today is, how can we make that presence in classrooms expected, welcome, and appreciated? And I thought I would break it down into these 3 shifts that make it not just something that we want to do, not just that we occasionally try to get into classrooms, but we really make it a consistent, impactful habit by making it something that teachers expect, that teachers welcome, and that teachers appreciate. So the first shift, I'm going to have 3 of these. Shift number 1 is we need to go from being an unexpected surprise visitor to being an expected presence in the classroom. Honestly, most teachers most of the time are surprised when their administrator shows up, because 99% of the time on any given day, the principal is not going to show up even once. So when we do show up unannounced, you know, there's going to be that surprise, unless we make a habit of getting into classrooms every day so that it's just so routine, so normal that it's not a surprise. What I want to encourage you not to do, though, to start to shift this in your practice, don't just make some big announcement and say, you know what, I'm really going to try to be in classrooms a lot this year, so you can expect to see me all the time. I'm just going to be in your classroom so much. You're going to love it. It's going to be great. Chances are good that if you make that kind of promise, you will soon find yourself falling short of what you promised. And that is going to make you feel terrible, and it is going to make your teachers doubt that you're ever going to get into classrooms more. It may take a couple of tries to really overcome the barriers and build the habit of getting into classrooms. By the way, we follow largely the advice that is in Now We're Talking 21 Days to High Performance Instructional Leadership on this show. So if that's a habit that you have been struggling to develop, I've got a book for you on exactly how to do that, and I'll share some of my best strategies every week on this show. So don't make a big promise, don't make a big pledge that you're gonna be in classrooms more, just do it. Just start showing up and people will start to notice. Don't make a big deal about it, don't make a grand announcement, just start showing up more. If you're going to stick with it though, I've got my last point here, keep it manageable so that you continue to show up. Don't give yourself some gargantuan, impossible task to complete when you get into a classroom. Keep it light, keep it simple. Don't give yourself a big form to fill out that has a whole bunch of boxes and a whole bunch of things you have to rate and then a whole bunch of things you have to talk about with the teacher. Keep it simple, have a simple conversation with the teacher, and you're going to find that you're much better at sticking with it because you've left it in a manageable state. All right. Shift number 2, going from unwelcome to welcome. We want to be welcome in classrooms, not that we're going to stay away completely if we're not welcome, but we want people to be happy that we are there. We want students to be glad to see us. We want the teacher to be glad to see us. And in order for that to be the case, we have to make it a not unpleasant experience. Right? Is that a shocking statement, that it should be enjoyable for the teacher to be observed and for the principal to stop by or the assistant principal to stop by? Is that a shocking statement that people should actually benefit and appreciate our presence? Well, we have to look at what we're actually doing when we get there. If we are grilling people and putting them on the defensive and saying, why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? How come you didn't do this? How come you didn't do this other thing? I have an idea for you. You should do my thing. If we're constantly badgering people about what they did and why they didn't do what we would have done in their shoes, well, you know, that's not going to be a lot of fun for either one of us. So we've got to make it a process that's beneficial and enjoyable for both of us. So we need to go from, this is my third shift, annoying to appreciated. Teachers will resist and resent our visits as interruptions if they don't find them beneficial. But on the other hand, teachers will appreciate our visits if they find them helpful. And this is not a difficult shift to make, right? But what we have to do is we have to let go of the need to feel useful, the need to feel smart. If I go into a classroom and it's my goal to show the teacher how smart I am and how much I know about instruction, even though I'm observing a subject that I never taught, if it's my goal to show that person how smart I am and how helpful I can be to them by giving them lots of really rigorous feedback and finding even the smallest flaw in something they did that was already really good and telling them what they should do as a next step, if that is how I approach it, I might feel smart for being able to give that kind of feedback. Fortunately, I didn't have the opportunity to feel smart very much as a principal because I was an elementary principal, having been a middle school teacher, didn't have the literacy background. So I learned very early on to be humble about my professional knowledge and to see teachers as the experts about their practice, but not to leave them alone, but to seek to understand and engage them in conversation. So I think if we follow the good old Stephen Covey maxim, seek first to understand, then to be understood, people will appreciate our presence. People will be happy to share what they're doing. They'll be happy to share their thinking and explain what it was that we saw, not because they're afraid that we didn't like it and they feel like they have to justify themselves, but just because people want to be understood. People love to have a chance to tell you about what they're doing and what they're thinking about it and, you know, where they're headed with it next. But what they don't like is to have their practice reduced to its surface features. They don't like to be nitpicked about, you know, the exact word choice and the exact, you know, which way were your toes pointed when you, you know, called the class to attention. And there is an epidemic, my friends, of nitpicking in classroom observations. We always try to look smart. And when someone is already doing a good job, that inevitably forces us to nitpick, to find something to say. And I would suggest that as an alternative, if we see it as our primary goal to understand and to position the teacher as the expert on their own practice and especially on their own thinking, you know, that kind of beneath the surface of the water portion of the iceberg. I like to think of teacher practice as an iceberg, where there are some things that we can see and observe, that tip of the iceberg that's above the water. But most of teacher practice is the thinking and the decision-making and the knowledge and the heart and the caring and the work that goes on behind the scenes to produce whatever it is that happens during the lesson. And we know we're only seeing a tiny fraction of the lesson because we can't be there all the time, but we also have to remember that we're only seeing a tiny fraction of the intellectual work that teachers are doing to plan, to prepare, to assess, to modify, to adjust, and to get their students to where they need to be. And if we want to know what it was that happened beneath the surface that to produce that lesson or that fragment of a lesson that we saw, we've got to talk and we've got to listen. We've got to talk with the teacher and listen to their own thinking about their practice. And it turns out that when you do that, it is actually fun, my friends. It is actually fun to talk with teachers about their practice if they are not on the defensive. Now, if you have only ever experienced this as an adversarial kind of conversation where it's the principal's job to grill the teacher and it's the teacher's job to be defensive but not act defensive, they have to defend their own practice but not act like they're being defensive, they have to act like they're open. Like, if we stop playing that game, this gets much more fun and this gets much more effective. So if you know what I'm talking about, leave a comment. Let me know what you think about these kinds of conversations. If you are looking to develop these kinds of conversations, we have a very quick program that you can go through in just a couple of hours to get you on the right track and getting into classrooms. And then if you are ready to go deep with these conversations that change teacher practice, I want to invite you to join us for the High Performance Instructional Leadership Certification Program. We actually have registration going on now. I'll put that in the comments here. Principalcenter.com/certification is where you can learn more about our flagship program on changing teacher practice. And it's all about getting into classrooms and having evidence-based conversations using a common language, a common framework in the form of a rubric. So we take you through the entire process of clarifying what rubrics you're using, what common expectations and language you're using, even developing your own and getting teacher teams to develop rubrics that are specific to their subject and grade level. So that when you're talking about practice, it's not just opinion, it's not just grilling and defensiveness, but it really is an evidence-based conversation based on shared expectations. So if you are already a Navigator member, you have access to that program in your dashboard. If you are an Instructional Leadership Association member, we can get you a great deal on upgrading so that your membership includes that, your login has access to that program. And if you've never been a member or you're not currently a member, go to principalcenter.com/certification. And what we're actually doing with this is we are including a 2-year membership along with your purchase of that program. So if you're already a member, we can add 2 years. You won't have to pay monthly or yearly for the next 2 years for your Instructional Leadership Association membership, which includes the repertoire app and everything you get every week. And then as well, you get the Instructional Leadership Certification Program. So we've got registration going on that for just a couple of days. Regardless of whether you join me for that or not, I hope I have made the case today that instructional leaders belong in classrooms. And the work that is most impactful for us to do when we get into classrooms is having conversations with teachers about their practice, to get them talking, to get them thinking, and to get us on the same page about where their practice is and where it needs to go next. That is it for today. This has been episode 57 of the Instructional Leadership Show. I'm Justin Bader, and I will see you next time. Take care.